Hey everybody, before we start the show, want to let you know we have amazing shirts available at tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. Go check it out. Sales are going on all the time. And today's show is brought to you by our good friend at Credit Karma. That's right. Credit Karma, when was the last time you checked your credit scores? Seriously, think about that. Have you ever checked your credit scores? Because your scores may change often. And you should know what they are because when you do that bigger purchase, they're going to check them for you. And Credit Karma is here to help out. Here is the best thing. Credit Karma is always free and there's no catch. No credit card needed. Just go to creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now. And you can keep track of your credit scores so you know before you go into a place that's going to check your credit where your credit's at. Creditkarma.com. It is the way to go. Or get the app. Credit Karma. Go do it. All right, here's our show. A powerful story about the power of love, redemption, psychic phenomena, and the abuses of the Catholic Church. We saw second sight, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter help to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and hello, people of Boston. Oh my gosh. We are here on the East Coast at the Wilbur Theater. Ready to talk about one of Boston's most proud films, Second Sight, a movie that defines Boston unlike any other. We are so excited to be here to talk about this movie, which is really just a prequel to Suits, and, or no, sorry, Psych. I get them confused. we gotta now cut that out. But tonight, I'm going to do that with my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we doing, Boston? All right. All right. Double balcony! What's up, Upper Deck? You fucking monsters.
Jason, it's a hometown crowd for you.
All right. By the way. Right? How many people here are from Nahant, Massachusetts? Just me? Thrilled to be here, Boston. Thrilled to be here. I grew up on a tiny island 10 miles north of where we are currently. Oh, Paul, I'm back. It's cold. You fucking did it. You knew we were coming.
I am currently right now living in Montreal for the next couple months.
Brag.
It's colder here than Montreal. What the fuck is that about?
This is no fucking joke. And yes, I have become weak. I live in Los Angeles. But this is inappropriately cold.
I feel like Boston heard that New York was cold and were like, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck them. We'll get colder.
We're going to get really weird.
We'll show them.
Paul and I got off the train and we're like, whoa. It's really cold.
We found a hobo. We cut open his stomach and we lived inside it just for a little bit for warmth.
Boston, the most bloated hobo tauntauns. We cut them right open. Sticky rice fell out of him.
But in Boston, they smell good on the inside and outside. That's a good thing about it. Jason, Second Sight.
Not good. How many people watch this movie? Shame on you. Shame on you.
Shame on them. That's the one requirement we would ask them to have.
I guess so, but here's my concern. My concern is legitimately that there's going to be a spike in the popularity of this movie because of this podcast. Bronson Pinchot's going to get his hopes up.
If we can get a Second Sight 2, and I'm not talking about a major theatrical release.
I'm talking Third Sight, baby.
They add a little kid, that's the Third Sight.
Yes.
We make it a Disney Channel movie like Hocus Pocus.
The kid's a little priest. Wait a minute.
Baby priest.
Hear me out. Baby religion. I went and got a coffee before the show, and I was waiting across the street to come to this theater, and some guy goes, "You made me watch a real shitty movie." And I was like, I've been in this city for 1 hour, and I'm for sure going to get my ass kicked.
Well, but
gotta be Boston, baby!
Also, when people say that, it's like, hey, man, I watch a real crap movie. It's like, yeah, that's the premise of the show. It wasn't like the Academy Awards show where tonight we're talking about Daniel Day-Lewis and Phantom Thread.
We're not trying to trick you.
Yeah.
This is what it is. It's bad movies. On board.
They feel so betrayed by it. Like, how could you?
I didn't realize you guys have little cocktail tables.
Yeah.
This is fucking weird.
They are out.
You guys
have
like little tables. What are the rest? Does everybody have little tables?
Yeah, it's a...
What the... Oh, this is like a little table place. Hang on. Quick question. Upper Deck, you got little tables? They're coming for you, Richies. These are the rich people. Come get them.
Kumite.
Is that Kumite chant?
Guys, we... Kumite.
Be afraid.
Legally.
Be afraid.
Legally, the owners of the Wilbur Theater say we cannot condone a Kumite.
No.
They would prefer no Kumite on premises.
We asked. We said, can we have audience members fight each other?
They said it happened across the street when they were doing a live show of Paw Patrol Live. It did not work out well. So for those of you who don't know, we did announce it, but June is right now out of country. So we have a very special... Wow, get ready. We have a very special guest host to fill in her shoes. She is someone that you've heard on the podcast before. In a little episode about Pluto Nash. Please welcome. Oh, yeah, you see now. You're excited.
Wait,
please welcome.
Like one person was excited.
There was a couple. I heard a lot down here. Please welcome Jessica St. Clair.
What's up, bitches? Woo! Yeah.
Here we go.
Where's the Manzoukas family?
Oh, they're here.
Where are they, though?
Manzoukas family is in the double upper deck.
There's like a whole ton of them.
You put your family in the upper deck, monster.
No, they're right there. They're right there.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay, right so there. Every one of Jason's so family of has eyes just like this, okay? And I have a little story for you.
They can't see your eyes.
Right there. Look at that. Okay. Right? That's terrifying. When I was getting married... I was standing there
trying to look at my husband.
Jason, right behind him, all I can see are these eyes. As I'm saying my vows. Yeah. Just that. So now I have a
which
lot of
technically
them
I believe I think that means we are married.
Yep. Congratulations.
Because I believe it, whoever you are making eye contact with in that moment is the marriage.
Yep.
Jessica, you are our guest host.
Yes.
And so I feel worse making you watch movies like this. Like, you were forced...
I really took one for June.
Yeah.
She would have hated both of these movies.
This movie, Second Sight, do you remember it? I saw it in the theater.
Wait, does anybody... Oh, you
no.
did?
Oh,
you,
yeah.
Okay. I need to talk to you about your childhood.
Yeah.
Because you have seen most of these movies in the theater.
Were you a feral child?
You were.
No. Better than that.
divorced parents. I got to see movies every weekend.
Oh, God.
Single kid, divorced parents. We were always going to the movies.
Oh, okay.
We were going to the movies so much, I would see movies two times in the theater.
So you're saying these people who've been listening to this podcast for all these years have the shattered family, the shattered sheer family to thank for this? Because of that sadness?
If my dad did not bring me to see Robin Williams' Popeye seven times in the theater, there would be no How Did This Get Made?
Oh, that one
just
really
so you couldn't
sick.
See him cry in the dark?
Sometimes you just need to take a nap.
Dad,
by the way,
Daddy, this part isn't even sad.
By the way, now as a parent, I know that movies are just put on to kill time.
Yes, they
are. That was my dad was just killing time. So much so that we were seeing Popeye, Robin Williams Popeye, in a theater where there was no one there, and I just remember dancing in the front of the theater. Because I could.
And this is the second time I've heard that you get out of the seat and are like loitering in the back.
You're the only one
in there.
Like, I feel like when you're alone in a theater, you gotta take advantage of that.
Like, honest to God, cumulatively, I feel like the stories of your childhood, if they were to be compiled in a non-comedic context, would be harrowing.
But would most likely like win the Palme d'Or.
It would be like a dystopian, sad...
Trash can fires.
I'm a regular Jonathan Franzen over here. I'm giving you...
I feel like you were, like, almost an orphan.
Like Fievel from American Tale.
Yes. Kind of like Fievel, yes.
You know? Yes. Like I what? I was left alone quite a lot.
He's looking out the window, remember, and he's singing about
like
his family?
A whole new world?
Oh. No, somewhere out
that was my mom's. That was my mom's second wedding song. Terrible. Not a bit.
That's the show. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. Thank you, Boston.
Boston, you've been great. That was Second Sight.
Sometimes you just know when the show is over. It's not going to get any better than that reveal.
How are we going to dig our way out of that?
Wow.
I'll drop you down one more and say that the song that my mom wanted me to dance with her with at her second wedding when I was about like 6 or 7 was the Billy Joel song, Don't Go Changin'.
About Christy Brinkley.
Which is like an odd song to dance with your son. Like,
a son who is arguably only going to change.
Yeah.
So the message from your mother at that point was, I want you like this forever. My little boy. Now dance with me. By the way, you guys don't know a dead-on impression of Paul's mom.
It was, for a second, I thought my mom was
it
here.
It is pretty eerie. Sometimes I leave Paul messages as his mom.
Well, we are here to talk about...
Have we finished talking about the movie?
Jason, we haven't even begun.
Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, boy.
So, this movie, I think at the top, does something... so crazy. It has like a cold open.
It has a not funny cold open.
Yes. This is...
followed by what could be a funny cold open.
Yeah.
This movie has also 7 endings.
Oh,
because I was watching it on the Acela, is that how I say it?
Yeah, sure, I would say it like that.
Brag. We get it.
Express.
You take the fast train.
And I fell asleep. And I woke up and I'm like, wait, did the movie restart? And I'm back at the same, because it ends and starts and ends and starts. So many episodes of television in one movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, this movie...
This wasn't television, right?
No, what?
By the way, I'm going to argue it's as close to television as a movie has ever been. And I did, there was a point and I was like, why is this movie like this? I was like, I couldn't figure it out. And then I realized... All right, so these are two obviously giant television stars at the time. It was Night Court, John Larroquette, and then, let's give it up for Night Court. And then, he's winning Emmys, and then Bronson Pinchot was the breakout star of Perfect Strangers, which is actually even referenced in this movie.
Not right.
Wait, it is?
Yeah, they
were watching it on television.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, yeah, you hear Balky, 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 no. Balky. Oh, yeah, yeah.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, it's
spoiler alert, I may have fallen asleep at one point.
It really lulls you to sleep. The movie lulls you to sleep. Did anyone else fall asleep? Yes! The best nap of our lives.
Oh, guys. Well, you're welcome.
The reason why this movie got made to a certain extent was it happened during the writer's strike of 1988. So basically no TV was being made, and they're like, we got this script, and they couldn't rewrite the script, so they just like, let's go, push it, get it in there.
Well, this makes sense, because I think there was a lot of unwelcome improvisation happening in this film.
Yeah. I can't see where. It all seems so tightly scripted.
I also feel like, why are these people working together? They clearly hate each other.
Yep.
And John Larroquette, they're the head of this detective agency, seemingly does not trust Bronson Pinchot's psychic powers.
Ever.
But he's always right, never is wrong. And John Larroquette seemingly has no abilities whatsoever, except doubt.
He appears to be a disgraced police officer.
Yeah.
But again, has no skills as a police officer.
His detective work is almost never brought to bear.
No.
Bronson Pinchot saves him every time, or the many beings that he channels.
And I knew one racist one was coming, and it finally did.
There was a point where I was like, what is happening?
That was tough.
I was bracing. I was like, oh, okay, it's just going to be Murray. Okay, I can relax in that.
No. Nope.
Oh, no. Well, it won't be too long. Oh, it's long.
Yeah. It is a movie that has, like, a lot of racism and a terrible Robert De Niro impression, all from the same actor.
Here is the I just want to show the opening scene, because I do think this opening scene speaks volumes about the pacing, the level
of... Even the fact we start on this stationery, just like the opening of Roseanne. What are we watching?
Also,
I swear to God, I would pay $10,000 to have watched Roseanne.
Me too!
I will also say that I feel like this scene was added in after the movie was
100%.
Tested. 100%. I was like, oh, we need something at the beginning.
This is, in fact, what I'm sure happened. They screened the movie, and everybody was like, thumbs down, this is a fucking turd.
Like,
and then they were like, we got it. And then they did this.
And then when they tested this and it didn't work, like, we'll put an answering machine message at the beginning? Maybe that will work?
No.
Oh, it's, okay, here we go.
So hot.
He is in a woman's waffle knit.
I've told you before, Wills, these things can't be rushed. Rushed. I am standing in a sewer in mortal fear that somebody in the
neighborhood... Can you pause for one second?
Sorry.
This is a movie. This is the beginning of a movie. This is the introduction to the world of this movie. It is Bronson Pinchot on screen. There are two people having a conversation not on screen. It is cryptic at best, confounding in reality. Please continue.
You get anything?
No.
Wills.
By the way, that was a joke. Like, John Larroquette kept popping up. Big, like that was like, and now that, the audience will be on our side.
That's supposed to be a huge laugh.
Then the other guy pops up, a bigger laugh.
By the way, there's no way three people could fit in one manhole. There's no
fucking
way.
It's called a manhole.
Hey,
not a three-man hole.
Let me ask you this, Boston. Are your manhole covers gigantic? No.
And what are they
Were they in the 80s, though? No, probably not.
What are they all standing on? Because ideally, one of them is floating, but are they both sharing a ladder, or is the manhole just like a few
inches?
All right, here we go.
I make you understand how counterproductive it is to disturb him.
He's been slowing way the hell down. What is wrong with him?
Nothing's wrong.
Then he goes down.
Weird.
He's just not a machine you turn on and off. He's a finely tuned human instrument.
Great. Now I got a psychic oboe in my hands.
Boom.
Down
and
there,
then
kid.
They all go down. Like, first of all, I need to talk about finely tuned instrument. He goes, oboe. When you say tuned instrument, I think of a million things that you can tune. Piano, guitar.
Train, something with the string.
You know what's an incredibly hard thing to keep in tune? A double reed instrument like an oboe.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are fucking cool. You're not a bunch of nerds in the woodwind department, but it's a fucking hard instrument.
It's such a... And
you gotta
that
keep
choice,
it wet.
That,
that
choice
it?
Of joke, that choice of joke just lets you go like, oh, everything's just gonna be...
We're not in good hands.
Yeah.
That's what we know Believe. For sure.
It's so soft. And it's the it's like meant to be the big joke opening. And Larroquette, at the end of this, he basically goes down and almost gives a look to the camera like,
sorry.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Like, he's almost saying, I'm sorry.
He should have looked at the camera and said, writer strike. Boop.
Or like, turn it off, watch Night Court.
Or it would have been great if he would have went down and went, do, 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 do. by the way, also, the other thing that this movie does, right at the top, to let you know it's funny, the credits, the words in the credits are off kilter.
Yep.
Like, they're, like, slightly slanted, like, hey,
oh, you mean
even
like,
our graphics can't get it right.
You know what you got? You got some wacky words. Gotta get those wacky words.
Did people just have an excess of time back then? Because the credits go on for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
At least. And I'm like, did they all just have nothing going?
Oh,
or?
And the movie is only an hour and 24. Yeah. They're like, ugh.
Keep it, stretch it out.
Is it possible that this was a TV pilot
Very
they made
possible.
Into a movie?
Yes.
And they just like really did extra credits, like extra stuff. I would believe it because this is awful.
But you have to go like, what's the genesis? Like, why do people want to even see this movie?
Yeah.
Like what is like, the appealing thing?
My hypothesis when watching it, and watch this. Will you rewind it like just 10 seconds
no.
even? I'm so sorry. Okay. Okay, can we play it now?
Yeah.
Ready? Well, here's what I think happened. I think that music cue is almost Ghostbusters, and I think this movie is a rip of Ghostbusters worked. They are detectives who are solving supernatural crimes,
right.
Blah, 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 who cares? You get it. This is that, because nobody seems to think this is weird.
But here's the other part of that. I would like to see detectives solving supernatural crimes. They're just solving regular crime.
Yeah.
That's
like
somebody's
nothing
car got hit. Who cares?
And
insurance
I can't
keep... adjusters? I don't give a fuck about this.
It takes 40 fucking minutes
so
before
long.
They reveal what the plot of the movie is. And it's an hour and 20 minute movie.
And it's the case that I'm arguably least interested in.
By the way, that daughter, is that the daughter? Who is that woman?
The younger woman?
Girl.
I thought she was like a nun in training.
Okay. She disappears
Wait, like
for most of the movie.
An NIT?
NIT.
Yeah,
that's
NIT.
A movie I'd like to see.
Nun in
training.
I want to see. But by the way, Stuart Penkin, who is like the third not billed member of this movie, he goes, I got us a case. It's a little bit low, but we're going to get it. And the case seemingly is a woman's car was hit and she had to pay $3,000 to get it fixed. But it's not like it was a hit and run. They never say hit and run.
Nope.
I guess it was. And then they go, well, we'll pay you 10% of the $3,000.
Which turns into $1.11 that he crumples up and puts on
the bed. Oh, that was the other one.
He gets paid in cash. Again, I was asleep. I was awake.
When the nuns come in, they come in and go, she was driving on the block, her car was hit, and it cost $3,000 to fix. And they go, we'll pay your 10% of $3,000. Like, why? But that doesn't...
Well, that's Larroquette's point of view, is that's nothing. That's chump change. Little
but why would they even get 10% of how much it costs to fix their car?
I guess they're saying...
they would find the... Like, there was never...
So is it a detective agency that works on percentages of money recovered?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
You're right. It's a flawed business model.
I rewound that scene three times. Am I missing anything? They never say, because I would even go for this. Can you find the person who did the hit and run? Then we'll be able to put it on their insurance. And then
Still,
we'll
make
give
sense.
You the money that we... I'll give you temporary... I don't know. I mean, it would be complicated. It's insurance fraud on some level, I guess. But I mean, why would you go to a detective agency to find the person who gave your car $3,000?
Why would you go to a detective agency, period?
Well, that's the thing. I was like...
They were victims of a crime.
They were hired, though, in the first scene.
Yes.
The case of the missing statue.
Right.
Correct.
That case was
again,
solved.
Its own episode.
I loved that.
On USA Network, that's its own episode.
Yeah. Characters welcome. Characters unwelcome.
Hashtag keep it classy.
It is Psych, by the way. I was right. It is Psych.
It is Psych.
Psych,
yeah.
Does that Psych. Well, Psych does it well.
But yeah, isn't exactly. Psych? But isn't Psych's whole thing is that he's not a psychic; it's a con.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So that's actually about
big
whole
Psych
thing too.
Fans in the audience.
Yeah.
Be honest. How many of you thought you were coming to see a live read of Psych?
Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the show to give you a few words from our sponsors. And you know what? There's one sponsor that I am going to go to the mattress for. That's right. Casper. Oh, yeah. All right. Here is the deal. Okay. Casper is a sleep brand that revolutionizes its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Here's the deal. They got three mattresses, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential. Okay, the Casper mattresses are designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. This is how I know Casper is good. I've been away with my wife shooting out of the country. We've been in this lovely, lovely house. The bed, it's fine. When I came back to my bed, I was like, holy shit, this Casper mattress is even better than I thought. I talked to you about how much I love the Casper mattress, but now being on another mattress for so long, I really love it. It's great. Delivered right to your door in a small, how did they do that kind of box, free shipping. And here's the best part. If you're not positive that you love this mattress, you can return it after 100 nights. You just sleep on it for 100 nights. They pick it up. They send it back. You can do whatever you want on it. They're not going to give it to somebody else. So, you know, really break it in and whatever way that means to you. I don't want to be gross here, but get comfortable on that mattress. Here's the deal. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/how. Use H-O-W at checkout. That's casper.com/how. Offer code H-O-W for $50 off your mattress. All right, terms and conditions apply. Of course they do. But isn't a good night's sleep worth a few terms and conditions? Oh, I can't wait to talk to you about my good old friends at RX Bar. What? RX Bar. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar made with a few simple, clean ingredients which all serve a purpose, right? Let me read it out to you. Egg whites for protein, dates to bind, nuts for texture, okay? And in the interest of full transparency, all of the core ingredients are labeled on the front of the package. No BS, no bullshit. This bar is like, you know what? Come at me, bro. Come at me. They are perfect for breakfast on the go, a snack at the office. You can just throw them in your bag for a bike ride or a hike or traveling, whatever. Here's the deal. I'm often driving my car, caught in traffic, and I'm hungry. And I start eating a lot of gum or mints as if that's going to satisfy me. This is what I need to have in my car, a little RX bar. They are the go-to snack that also checks off a number of nutritional boxes. And they actually taste delicious, right? They have 11, I think, different flavors. They're gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, free of any added sugar, artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or fillers. You can actually taste the cacao, the fruit, and the spices like sea salt. It's a good-tasting bar, and you feel good about yourself. I used to eat Snickers because I thought they actually satisfied. They don't. They're just candy. This is what I think a Snickers would be like if Snickers were real and healthy. Whether you like sweet, savory, chocolate, or fruit, there is an RX bar for you. I've tried them. I like them. And you know what? The best part is I don't feel like I'm cheating. I don't feel like I'm cheating on the snack zone, all right? And let me tell you this. Right now, for 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/bonkers. That's rxbar.com/bonkers. Enter the promo code bonkers at checkout. That's rxbar.com/bonkers. Promo code bonkers for 25% off your first order. Get a couple. Throw them in your bag. See how that goes. All right, everybody, back to our show.
Don't just agree with shit I say.
And they all live together, too. So they're in this detective
agency. That's
fair.
Do they?
Whoa.
Or is he just
Whoa.
Always there?
Whoa.
No, they all live together.
Whoa. What is happening?
No.
Why is Larroquette sleeping on a chair?
Wait, that's right. I thought because they had to stay up all night talking about the case.
I don't think so.
No, because his wife kicked him out because his wife was sleeping with the mayor, or the wife was sleeping with the chief of police.
Chief.
So now he's like home.
Wait, the little guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the little boy.
His
guy.
Wife is sleeping with the little guy?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
We never meet the wife?
We never met the wife.
No.
Oh, but then, okay.
But then Stuart Penkin's wife leaves the movie. She's like, I got a problem. I'm addicted to psychics.
and then we never see her again.
Never see her
again. Because she got a pilot and she's unavails for the rest of the movie shoot.
I felt like...
Why was
like...
there always a roast chicken? Why?
A whole bird.
So many birds.
A whole bird.
It was the same bird.
I don't want him to wake up hungry. No, it's a different bird later. Later, he has another whole bird himself.
But I think it was the same
chicken. There are four shots of entire birds. I believe one to be a turkey. I'm not even fucking kidding. They framed Penkin's wife's relationship with, spoiler alert, Bronson Pinchot's name in this movie is Bobby McGee.
Terrible. Writer's strike.
It is never mentioned that is a major song in an... Well, I don't care, whatever. They framed Penkin's wife's relationship with him like it was an affair. Like she was like in her nightgown like, what? I'm just getting tomorrow's numbers while he's sleeping. I was like...
What about when he wakes up and grabs her?
And humps her.
And I will tell you, the only scary part about this movie, is when he's wearing those very loose-fitting boxers, which make me very uncomfortable, because at any minute it can pop out, and he's doing a lot of...
Pop out? Where? What do you mean, pop out?
It has an opening, and you know if it has an opening, it wants to get out and get some air. Not on my watch, Bronson Pinchot.
It wants to. It wants to get out. Ugh, you're gross.
Nobody uses that flap, right? I just need to take 1 second. Those old school boxers.
Tidy whities, you don't use the flaps.
No, but even in the actual boxer.
Well, of course you use the flap.
You do?
How else are you going to get your wiener out?
There's new
boxer technologies.
I'm keeping
it classic because my family's here.
There's new designs on briefs now that has a better penis hole.
Yeah.
The other one was like creating some sort of like...
Need
like,
a better penis hole? Get ready for the new underwear. Penis hole. Burn up the control bridge for your dick. Better penis holes. We got a hole for your penis. Listen, guys.
I really did think it was decorative.
But basically, we can all agree that everyone's taking full advantage of Bronson Pinchot.
The opposite. Bronson Pinchot kisses every female character in this movie, period.
And says, will you have sex with me at the end with
that's the woman he ends up with, so I'm okay with it. But then the final scene, he makes out with the nun.
It's not right.
I will also say that the movie did not ever, like, he is, I don't understand why he is clearly... American. He doesn't have any accent like Balky or anything. So, but he was like, you were walking down with the thing with the pavement and the dots, street. And you had the thing. It was made out of like old mini waffle ice cream. It was like
getting images. That's
but he should understand
images.
What those images are.
Did you feel like they were maybe trying to say that they were trying to capitalize on the broken English of Balky and be like, oh, he still doesn't know how to speak right in this movie too. Thing you like about him.
I think it was like, in their mind, they're like, oh, yeah, he'll do the voice.
How about this?
Like Beverly Hills Cop, he'll do the voice. And then he gets there, he's like, no, I'm doing it as me. I'm doing it as Bronson. And they're like,
Here's what I think. I think he got there day one, and they thought he was a foreign actor.
Very possible.
And they were like, well, we want you to do
that. Right, because he'll be like from India, let's say, or something like.
Sure, I think they just thought he was from Meepos.
Right. Right.
Hey, look, or even his character of from Beverly Hills Cop, yep. In Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Was it Serge?
Serge, yeah.
He's in Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah. One Bronson? And three.
Oh, I didn't realize
right?
that.
Right, Serge, right? Nerds?
Serge.
Okay.
Serge. Okay, man, I don't know Cherish. What's happening with you and me, but I need to break eye contact with you immediately. I don't like where it's going, and you just keep saying the word Serge at me.
I'm looking at him.
Is
he's saying
erotic.
Serge, and he looks like he's wearing a Harry Potter scarf, so I think he is putting a hex on you on some
You
level.
Are wearing Gryffindor colors, which I appreciate. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Bruins
colors. Okay, fair enough.
But, oh, you know, I guess they say at one point he was hit by lightning.
Yes.
I didn't hear that.
That comes very late in the game.
Is that why all that lightning's coming out of his fingers?
I mean, this guy has so many fucking magical powers.
Yeah.
He can change channels with his legs. He has like...
He farted in his face during
that.
Oh,
when
that.
He farted in the face. That
I
is
hated
a sign
that.
Of a shitty movie.
I'm so angry.
When like, I remember like seeing Nacho Libre, which, you know, it's like, and it was like, da 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 da, and then he gets up there and it's like, clearly, like, the audience is like, we need more jokes. And they just
I'm not going to lie. I laughed real hard at that fart. Laughed
some
real hard.
Farts are good.
In the quiet
this one
car.
Was bad.
In the quiet car on the train. I was like,
wait, you laughed at this fart?
I laughed at this fart.
How dare you?
Yeah. Oh, no. I laughed real hard. Because when it's like you, no. You know, all the physical gags, and then, like, boop, no. I was like,
no.
Well, just so.
You
I wrote,
did it, movie. You got me again.
I wrote it down. He is a. He is a power psychic.
Yep.
He's a deep trans channeler, an empath. By the way, I have to rewind three times to write this down. An empath and a psychometrist. And then I wrote down, I legit don't know what's happening. but I think the portrayal of Chinatown was actually really tastefully done.
Wait, when are they in Chinatown?
When they go to the Chinese restaurant.
Oh, when he says for no reason that he needs to get pot stickers, like out of nowhere, that's the connective tissue.
And then Stuart Penkin runs to the store to get goobers, like goobers, goobers.
And the guy tries to give him a duck hanging in the window. But, which I would almost imagine in a world in which this market, the guy speaks zero English and only sells like things like duck in the window, but he does in fact have goobers.
Yeah.
So if you sell goobers and somebody says, I need goobers,
and
don't try and
a
give
duck.
Him a fucking duck.
Do you think that they were trying to E.T. this movie and be like, Reese's Pieces and E.T., goobers, and of
possible.
Course, McGee, whatever, Bobby McGee. You know, kind of a big tie-in around the holidays.
This movie might have been computer-generated. Do you know what it, like, at random?
I would love it if it was just even weird, if it was like Mike and Ikes. Quick, get a Mike and Ikes.
Angle,
should be such
Mike?
Wait, what?
No, the candy. Oh, man.
Or like a Boston-based candy, like a Necco wafer.
Are those made
guys
here?
Don't. I'm pandering. Guys, I'm pandering.
A Necco wafer?
Like
that's
a Necco wafer? The New England Confectionery Candy Company?
That's a good one.
Little chalky.
Don't worry about it.
It's a little chalky.
It is so chalky.
So chalky.
It is, in fact, not a candy.
No. Yeah.
It is like a chalky.
It's a punishment. It is a chalky punishment that you give the children.
Is. It's got right. all,
you don't
it's
see
like
them
all
anymore. I don't even know if do they still make them. I wonder.
Do they?
Wait, is that what
you
it gotta
go
stands
to like
for? New England Confectionery.
Yeah.
You got to go to like specialty candy stores where they sell bad candies and then get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like that and Boston baked beans.
A dot.
And a little like
one
yeah.
of the dots.
Paul,
remember the dots?
Paul, be careful, Paul. Paul, be careful. Be very.
By the way, I know
careful.
The Wilbur Theater makes most of their money on selling Boston baked beans.
Just don't
and
say,
lemon heads to the entire audience.
Don't say about a Charleston Chew. Just
oh,
don't say anything
shit.
About a Charleston Chew. it's all Boston references, guys, just for you.
I did think this movie looked incredibly cheap until the end sequence, which is a fucking plane
that's
driving
crazy.
All around
and
Boston.
And that was real, right?
I mean, that was not CGI.
I was trying
was
to
practical.
Figure out how
can
they
I
do that.
Can I ask a for real question?
Yeah.
Because I'm, again, may have fallen asleep. Why were they on a plane?
Because
for genuine question.
I did fall asleep,
yes.
So I
was
don't
like,
know.
There was
I know.
A moment where I was like,
I don't know, and I feel badly. I don't
no,
know.
I
what?
Don't know why Bronson Pinchot was in a gi, a
I
karate
feel-
outfit, and I didn't know why they were on a plane. And I was like, whoa, what's happening?
So what had happened was they get a thing where he's like, I need to go to Pittsburgh. And they like they're bringing him to Pittsburgh to follow a lead.
Who does? That all of them are gonna go? Oh yeah, and yes. Then he goes, he's in trouble. But why'd they leave John Larroquette back?
Because John Larroquette's like, I'm gonna finally be a detective and follow my lead. And it was like, and so, but I think Pinchot, maybe I got a little confused too. That Pinchot, I think, just got the wrong message. He got it slightly off.
Well, Balkin thinks that he's in trouble.
Right.
But say he says, I know how we're going to do this. We're going to drive this plane through town.
Yes. But after he's already, by the way, Balkin blew up a building. That happened before this.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
No, that was crazy.
And they don't deal with it.
No.
They just drive away.
No, what would arguably be an act of domestic terrorism.
100%.
I would argue two of them in a row.
He's a hero of the movie and straight up 9/11s that building.
He does.
Then gets in a plane and drives it through a tunnel?
He reversed 9/11s. He blows up a building and then gets in a plane.
Oh, too soon.
Guys.
Too soon.
Guys.
Oh, God.
Guys,
he had a very, very, very bad childhood. He went to see lots of movies by himself.
Guys.
He doesn't know what he's saying.
Guys, hang in there with us, okay? Hang in there with us.
He danced with his mother.
It's only going to be...
Don't go changing.
It's only going to be...
Don't go changing.
40
My mom
or
got
so.
Married three times. It's no big deal.
And if you're here for the second show, you'll hear what song they dance to.
Just so you guys know, Bronson spent 3 months meeting with psychics to research this
part. I knew
it.
I knew this asshole came in
and,
with a bunch of characters. I got ideas.
And there was a psychic on retainer for the picture.
Oh.
Her name was Patricia Resnick, and she was
Patty
an advisor
Rez.
On the film. And one time during a psychic session, Pinchot collapsed, and doctors said it was due to exhaustion. But the psychic advisor said it was probably due to the extrasensory perception and hypnosis that he had been exposed to.
Jesus Christ. You know, I'll say this.
Nope.
It seems like they were having a really good time.
I don't think so.
Really?
I didn't think. I feel like John Larroquette was like, can I leave now? Like in every scene.
That is so true. Larroquette looks miserable.
Except it looks like somebody has told him he will take those suits home with him.
Okay.
And that's like the only thing he's going to get out of it.
I need to talk about this very specific thing.
You're very upset
about it. I showed these guys backstage. I was the only one that noticed it. But I guarantee some of you have noticed it. Did anybody else notice how like high-waisted Larroquette's pants were? Right?
That's a long
like the zippers
right there.
On his flies are conservatively. Look at this. What is happening?
Well,
this is that's 18 inches of zipper.
His zipper is as if zippers go down the entire center of the pan.
It is honest to God, 14 to 16 inches of zipper. I don't know what's up.
Yes.
That's wild. That's wild. The waist is at his tits. I don't get it.
Maybe they were made custom.
For what?
Maybe his dick's really long.
He's like, I got a big old dick, and my character's got a big old dick.
But that's the thing. He doesn't.
I don't
speak from experience. I mean, I don't know. What I'm saying is, there's not a bulge.
It's very Ken doll.
The amount of fabric that is in just this section.
Wait, but what's
is
this?
So much. What's that?
That's
not his dick. No.
For those of you listening at home, there is a bulge. There is a bulge on the far left side.
No.
Side.
It's just where visual bits that only you guys get, Boston.
Speaking of Boston getting it, I'm going to come down to the audience and see what they have to say. I'm going to say to you guys, I want to hear your questions, but I don't want to hear your theories if they involve anything to do with Jacob's Ladder. I don't want to be like, actually, when he was in the sewer, they all died. By the way,
everybody just put their hands down.
Yeah. Ma'am, I'm going to come to you. She's wearing an I Love Jason shirt, I Love Jason shirt.
It's a homemade I Love Jason shirt?
Well, I guess, I didn't see this at like Urban Outfitters.
This is concerning.
I am going to, I'm going to ask you to ask your question in your best, was his name Manny?
Murray
voice.
Murray.
In your best Murray voice. So what's your name?
Pam.
Pam. And now Pam, in your best Murray voice, and I'm not judging you on it, but just try your best, ask your question in a Murray voice.
Why were they all sitting in the front seat of the car all the time?
Yeah. That's great! Okay. Yes! Woo!
That's how you do it, Boston.
Boom!
Yes!
First question! Crushing it! Well done, Pam. I love you, too.
What about, guys, what about the scene where they're all three of them there and then, like, they have a specialty shop
and
they're like, and you are?
Yes, thanks.
But why? What's the point?
Why? And she's sitting alone in the back seat, the nun.
Strange. Yeah.
I just feel like, I mean, the lighter bit was probably my favorite part of the entire movie when Bronson Pinchot takes the lighter out and then burns everybody in the car. But it was as if that was the first time he'd ever been in a car.
Also,
no seatbelts in that car.
Also, my favorite part of that is the lighter pops out. And it looks like he's sniffing. It looks like he's going to put it on his nose, right?
Yeah.
Which I'm like, okay. Ha, ha, ha. Then he goes... Like, he's gonna put it in his eye? Maybe I understand smelling something that's hot or something.
Yeah, yeah. But not burning.
No, but your own eyes.
He was hit by lightning.
But it should, like, even, like, animals understand fire bad.
Right.
All right, sir, your name and your question in your best Murray voice.
All right, my name is Casey. The fuck was up with that scene where they were shocking each other in the nips?
Great question. Great job. You get a one-point deduction for cursing. This is a PG movie. Murray would never use the F word, okay? He shocked the nip. And he liked it. Bronson Pinchot is a straight-up freak. I mean, you know...
Oh, no! Again, he kisses every female character in the movie. He's a straight-up perv.
Your name and your Murray voice.
My name is Emily, and I want to know...
I think she's about to.
If all he needs to do is touch his forehead, what does he need the fucking goobas for?
Yes!
This movie was financed by goobers. Great question. Great question. Yeah, I couldn't understand any of the rules.
Wait, don't you feel like the goobers come in halfway through the movie? Like, I feel like that might have been a rewrite or
everything comes in halfway through the movie.
Well, I mean, by the way, why would he even have to go to the hospital when he could fix his back with his hand on his back?
That,
I mean...
And why do they hobble around for that long?
Just so they can have the joke that Balki is doing like an empathic thing with him.
And by the way, is there a real thing as a floating hospital? Okay. All right, it's right around the corner. Okay, it exists. Right. Sir, your name, your question, and Murray's voice.
My name's Fletcher.
Fletch! What's up, Fletch?
Nothing much. So why is it that the FBI says that they're taking over the case, yet they can just waltz right in to the crime scene and the BPD's all over the place?
Great, great job.
Great question. Great question. The FBI guy, when the Second Sight Detective Agency shows up, which, let's be honest, are like quacks.
What do you got?
Yeah. When they show up at the crime scene, the FBI guy's like, listen, I'm from the FBI. This is my jurisdiction. Get on in there.
All right. What?
That's not how this
works.
They're
also showing a badge. What is that? They printed that out themselves?
I think it's a business card.
It's a business card in a badge holder.
Yes, I think it is.
It is. And by the way, when she answers the door, she's like, no, 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 let him in. And she sees him. She's like, oh, you guys. Like, well, who were you letting in?
Yeah.
Okay, sir, your name and your best Murray voice. Here we go.
My name is Brendan. And I got to know, why didn't we talk about that doorman?
Oh, yeah. Doorman kidnapper,
what
great question.
Retired professional kidnapper.
I didn't think that was like a profession that you could go to more than once.
I actually loved... See, that character, that scene I liked because it helped me believe...
We
that,
know he... Somebody just told me the doorman kidnapped somebody. We're aware of that.
Okay.
We're just talking about the fact that he was known as a serial kidnapper.
You hear us saying that, right, lady? You hear me saying the words, he's a kidnapper, right? Okay, so I liked that scene in as much as it gave me some sense that Larroquette was a detective, had been on the police force, had informants, had experience. Like,
that... Oh, to me, it just meant that he had to go to this random dude to get any ideas because he's so dumb.
Yeah, but that's what you do. Not that he's so dumb. You go to the guy who's got, like, maybe the info on the street. I don't know.
But also his info was shitty. There's only three reasons to kidnap. Money, sex, and
politics.
Which is what it was, and that's what gives Larroquette the I know what's going on.
How about know that yourself? You're a fucking detective.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the show to give you a few words from our sponsors. I've gotten a lot of shit from you listeners out there who say that I am not into anime. Guess what? I'm not. I'm not into anime. I apologize. I didn't mean to pretend that I was into anime, but I wanted to tell you about how great Crunchyroll is, okay? Crunchyroll is your destination to stream over 25,000 episodes and 15,000 hours of the latest and greatest anime series. Now, if I was an anime fan, would I be all up in Crunchyroll's business? Yeah, you bet. You can watch new episodes and binge previous seasons of your favorite shows like Naruto, Dragon Ball Super, One Piece, and Attack on Titan. Here's the deal, people. Convince me that I should get into anime. I'm not adverse to anime. You know me, I'm a fucking nerd. I love all this sci-fi shit. I like cartoons. I write comic books. What is my entry point for anime? I've seen, you know, Mizuyaki. Is that anime? I guess it is. Spirited Away. I saw that. The Moving Treehouse one. I saw that too. Here's the deal. Crunchyroll is probably where I should go because it's all there in one convenient destination. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get on Crunchyroll. I'm going to look for you to tweet at me what I should be watching. And here's the best part. Crunchyroll, up to date because they offer offline viewing. Offline viewing, not online viewing, offline viewing. So you can watch it when you're on a plane, when you're in a subway, when you're in a car and your Wi-Fi is bad, whatever it is. You can watch all your shows on the go without an internet connection. Here is the deal, okay? Not only do they have anime, they also have cool things like Harmontown. And they also have like a thousand documentaries about history and tech and nature. They have Ancient Earth, Stephen Hawking's favorite places, which is actually cool and I have seen that. And here's the other thing about this. One more thing. Do you know about Mubi? It's a constantly rotating catalog of 30 indie movies every single month. So there's always something new to discover. So here, for a limited time only, for a 30-day free trial of VRV Premium, which gives you ad-free access to 12 channels such as Crunchyroll, Rooster Teeth, Funimation, Cartoon Hangover, and Curiosity Stream. Just go to vrv.co/gopremium. And like I said it before, this is a great package. This is not VRV Premium is the shit, okay? Rooster Teeth, always doing great stuff. Cartoon Hangover, they got tons of great things on there. Curiosity Stream, I don't know what that is, but if I got it, I'd be up for it. So go to vrv.co/gopremium. Convince me I should get into anime. All right, everybody, back to our show.
Ma'am, your name and your Murray question.
Hi, I'm Sarah. And to go off the guy from the middle balcony with the kidnapping thing, the FBI guy says, kidnapping is a federal crime. It's not unless it goes across state lines.
So less of a question, more of you telling us some information.
But by the way, good information.
Good information. But does the FBI, well, I don't know. I mean, were they trying to take the cardinal across state lines? I don't care.
No, they weren't. They were just holding him in hostage for a couple days so they could vote on a pope, I think.
So the other guy could become the Gulf cardinal?
And who was that little nun that was running for the golf balls? Was that the nun we know?
No.
I didn't think that was right.
The ball nun.
She had like a little low-heeled pump, feels like a pump, looks like a sneaker. and had to just run and do it. I thought
she had like a
right.
fit flop on. Is that what you're saying?
Hey guys, that FBI guy too had a very strange voice, right?
That guy was like, from the 1950s.
Hello, I'm here from the FBI.
All right, we got guy who was front row center, but he walked over to me, so this is good.
Uh-oh.
Your name, your Murray voice question.
I'm George. What was up with Lyricette licking the ice cream off the nun's face?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That was fucked up.
Whoa. I didn't like it.
Why was that ice cream totally liquid? It was also weird.
Why? It's a fresh multi-gallon jug of ice cream from the kitchen.
Totally liquid.
Totally liquid.
It was like, who's, you know what they said? You know what? You can't do that on television. That's popular. Slime 'em. And Slimer. And Slimer.
Okay. Everybody.
And what else? There's nothing?
No, I'm just wondering this hodgepodge of references that you don't know that they hardly know.
I will say that this is a movie where both of the leads fall in love with the women without really ever having a full conversation with them.
That's right.
Like, Lyricette is instantly into the nun, and the other one, the nun in training, is like, but there's never any moment of any connection.
Okay, I've got something that's like so much that I can't believe we have not talked about, which is the craziest part of this movie. And Paul, I'm sorry to be saying it while you're in the audience.
Yes.
I hope again you are not murdered.
I've been stabbed 4 times so far.
Fine.
Again, welcome to Boston. Here's the thing. Why is Murray the nun's ex?
That's crazy.
That's so weird. The spirit who is talking through Balky is the ex-boyfriend of the nun in the movie? No.
And he holds a grudge against her because she asked him to go get ice cream, and then he was hit by a truck.
And
she didn't kill him.
He says she murdered him.
Yeah. He also gets very physical with her through Bronson, which I thought was really like pushes her up against the. It was very dark.
Yeah. I didn't like it.
I didn't like no.
Sir, your name, your Murray question.
My name's Nate. Just in honor of June, I'd like to do 6 degrees of separation between this.
This is
June.
Not a Murray accent.
All right. This is, just to reiterate, this is 6 degrees of separation of this movie and June.
Okay,
let's hear it.
Second Sight stars Stuart Pankin, who is in Congo with Bruce Campbell, who is in Escape from L.A. with Steve Buscemi, who is in Con Air with Nicolas Cage, who is in Wicker Man with James Franco, who is currently in The Disaster Artist with June Diane Raphael.
Well done.
Wow.
I like that those are all How Did This Get Made movies. June.
I would do one shorter. I would say, let's see. John Larroquette's in Second Sight. Then, Jane Fonda was on Night Court. And then June's on Grace and Frank with Jane Fonda.
Ooh, that's good.
Jane Fonda was never on Night Court.
What are you talking about?
Do you want to hear Jason?
Jane Fonda.
Here we go. Here's it.
She might have guest starred. We don't know.
No, Jane Fonda was never on Night Court.
Here's one of Jason. Okay, you ready for this Jason one?
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, it's a six. I'm sorry. Yeah, I get it.
Second Sight starred Bess Armstrong, who was in Jaws 3 with Leah Thompson, who was in Howard the Duck with Tim Robbins.
I can stop you.
Who was in Jacob's Ladder with Danny Aiello, who was in Hudson Hawk with Lorraine Toussaint, who was in The Night Before with Jason.
Okay, good. I can do that shorter.
I'll do 1 degree with Paul. Bronson Pinchot was in this movie. Bronson Pinchot remodeled my house on Home Garden Network. Done.
I will say I was in a movie with Leah Thompson, so I can do it much shorter. There's that.
Guys, did you guys ever see the Law and Order with Bronson Pinchot? It was like right after. He'd been out of
I'm
Perfect
sorry.
Strangers.
Are you asking the audience a question?
Yes.
Okay.
This is what it was. He played a dentist And the way he got high is he put cocaine up his butthole. And he was putting it up other people's buttholes when they were under.
I don't know what happened. I was in a labyrinth.
And you want to know if the audience
has anybody else seen that? Because I actually thought he was very convincing as a villain.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Is that not a real episode and you have written it and want it to be shot?
That is a spec script. And I'm shopping. That's real, guys. Google that.
You really can't
get high if you put cocaine up your butt.
Well, there we go, Boston. Try it tonight. It's the early show.
Of course you can.
You can get drunk with butt chugging.
You can get drunk. Anything you put up your butt, you can feel.
Well, obviously.
You're welcome, Mom and Dad.
So I've seen on internet videos.
Obviously, we have opinions on a lot of things, but on this movie, there are other people who have a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
So I just watched this, and you might think I'm crazy, but I have a second opinion, and it's 5 stars, baby.
Yeah, give it up. There you go. Great job there.
Woo!
Second opinion
Good
song.
Job.
Killed it, got on
Great
stage, killed it.
Work.
All right, I'm going once, going twice, we're done. Okay, great.
Upper Deck doesn't have anybody who wants to sing?
Ooh, aggressive.
All right, here we go, people. These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. There are 77 total reviews for the film, and 60% of them are 5 stars. So this one is by Satisfied Al.
He puts
Congratulations
cocaine
to
up his
Al's
butt
wife.
Before he typed that.
It was written on January 18th, 2013, and it goes like this. Worth the
day before he killed himself.
Worth the time and money to watch if you like a movie that's considered old school. Not like the present-day multi-million-dollar budget ones on the fringe of art using the formula of sex, violence, and sensational action stunts. This is not that kind. It's rather a real, comedic version of Private Investigation. It is done with style. This is Paul talking. It is not. At a time when art is sacrificed using bucks to draw in sensational-seeking audiences that drone through the pantheon of less artistic present-day movies, often centering on violence, haven't we gone too far in that direction? Well, this movie takes it one back to a happier period in our history. Artfully done, touche. 5 stars. And
he's right. It doesn't have anything that makes a good movie. It doesn't have good sex, good action, good drama.
Now, the next two are going to be a little different direction. First one's going to lead us down a path, and then the next one's going to bring us home. But this one's written by A.M. Harrison in 2011, and it goes, "This movie is so funny. And anyone who didn't enjoy it never wanted the Grinch to have a heart." To all the people who like to laugh and have had good feelings when you think about what made you laugh years later, you are automatically members of the good-hearted people society. Keep laughing, you'll live longer. 5 stars.
Oh, man. The GHPS, everybody.
And finally, we end on this one by Kevin W. Kunz.
I'm gonna need a spelling on that one.
K-U-N-Z. And I'll just, the title is simply, What God Can Do. This movie is very, very, very funny. Only the Lord God has this much power.
Oops.
However, this movie gives some humor-based information on the spirit world. In a tongue-in-cheek way, God has a sense of humor. So invite Jesus to watch this with you. LOL, smiley face, 5 stars.
Wow. Wow. So this guy is imagining that this is like a Christian God speaking through Balki?
I think so. Now, a couple of facts about this movie. This movie was directed by Joel Zwick, who directed My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but only TV. Besides that, he directed Dog with a Blog, Girl Meets World, Mork and Mindy, Joni Loves Chachi, Jamie Foxx Show. So his, that's what I think gives us this very
specific
look. Because
I think there was a
look.
Heavy hand from the director. And I feel like a lot of suggestions of rewrites or improvs again.
Totally, because in that one section.
Are you going to edit out? If
by
I
the
find
way,
out you've edited all of
flawless,
my shit out of here, I'm going to be
flawless.
Pissed.
Keep it in. Flawless.
It better not just be you talking on this podcast. Yeah. Paul, I'm going to be so pissed I came all the way to Boston.
People are like, why are there other people but Paul on stage?
No big deal.
Whenever I listen to this show, it's just him.
They're like, there's other people. So here's the thing. When they play that song, Freeway of Love, it should end when they're done driving. But it just continues into the next scene.
Yep.
And like he's arresting people and... Freeway of Love is still going. It's like the DJ forgot to take the track off. I was like, this should stop, right? We should stop the song now because the action sequence is done.
It's over, yeah.
Also, why does that man grab her when they drive into the fish head?
Yeah.
He all of a sudden is like, ooh, I gotta get her. And I'm like, that's not right.
Well, that guy, it's...
That's
it's,
not right.
That guy is repeatedly being described by both his actions and Bronson Pinchot's actions as him. This is Bronson Pinchot's racist black character.
Yes.
As horny for the NIT, the nun in training. Yeah. So he's always grabbing at her. That seems to be what's happening, which was not cool even remotely.
Well... We all watched this movie, but there's one person who didn't watch this movie, and that's June Diane Raphael. And she is here to give us a little message.
She's loving this hat.
Hello, Boston. I'm so sorry I can't be with you guys tonight. I'm here in Montreal. Brr, it's cold. That was some of my acting that I just did for free. Paul asked me to take a wild guess at what Second Sight is about. I've never seen the movie, the motion picture. But I feel like someone tweeted at me that Bronson Pinchot was in this one. If that's the case, I'm honestly bummed to have missed it because he was, as a young woman, a crush of mine. And yeah, I would have liked to have seen him. I always love seeing him outside of Balki. It's always a treat. I'm going to take a guess. This movie's about Bronson Pinchot regaining his sight after, you know, years of losing it. And then maybe when he was blind, he married someone that he had a very different idea about. And then when he got his second sight, you know, maybe he realized she was actually very beautiful, but her looks didn't match up with what he thought she was going to look like. And it could be interesting if she was actually very stunning, but because he had fallen in love with someone that was so real to him and really his best friend, maybe before he lost his sight for the first time, he was really focused on looks. And so when he actually, with his second sight, realized his wife is a beautiful woman, you know, by standards of society, fuck Louis C.K., he actually can't find her beautiful anymore. So that's my guess. I really am bummed to not be there tonight. And I hope you guys have a lot of fun. Bye.
By the way, better movie.
Much By better
way,
movie.
I wish I had watched that movie.
By the way, I think she just described the Blake Lively movie that did come out where Blake Lively
Age
is...
Age of Adeline?
No.
That was kind of good.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, no. One
great
and
movie.
Or two.
You love that movie. Yes, you do.
I may have cried openly to Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2 on an airplane.
That's right.
Sorry, that's right. Boston.
Airplanes will make you cry. I cried during Chef on an airplane. No big deal.
You know what I cried on? Did you guys ever see Invincible?
Oh,
with
yeah.
With Marky. Yeah, do it for the neighborhood, Papali. I was like sobbing like uncontrollably.
Sports movies are built to make you cry.
Yes.
That and Pixar movies. If you didn't cry, it's
I
not
cried at Boss Baby on a plane. Not proud of it.
What?
Not proud of it. But when he's like, you are my little brother, I was like,
this movie
I'll
came
have more white wine, please.
This movie came out
because I'm a fucking classy lady on a motherfucking plane.
This movie came out in 1989, and the top three movies of 1989 were Batman, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and Lethal Weapon 2. Oh,
wow. Just and, this was in theaters at the same time.
Yes, and it was beaten by Tango and Cash, Roadhouse, No Holds Barred, and it beat nothing that we've talked about on this podcast.
That might be the greatest year of movies ever.
Oh, I know. I
You're
remember
telling
that
me
summer.
Roadhouse and Lethal Weapon came out in the same year?
Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, who cares?
Movie made $5 million, and the tagline was...
Why?
He's in the detective biz with a psychic whiz.
Wait, and you're telling me people didn't go see this movie?
Would you recommend people seeing this movie? Granted that the two of you have fallen asleep during it, I'm gonna speak for you and probably say no, right?
Well, no, if you want a good nap, it lulls you to sleep.
If you're an insomniac,
right?
If you're having trouble sleeping, I don't know. I mean, this is not a good movie. This is one of those movies that I feel like, watch it until you are close to doing self-harm and then stop.
Right.
Like, watch it to get a taste, and then when you're like, I think this is making me crazy, I'm either about to have a seizure or I'm going to turn the movie off. Yeah. Don't go back.
Not worth it.
I just want to say this, and I only want to say it very quickly, we did not talk about the strip club scene.
Oh.
We did not talk, which I assume is in the combat zone, which made me very happy. But that the guys, they get into a shootout in the strip club. Then the bad guys chase them upstairs. And the bad guy says to Larroquette, catch any good strip shows lately? Yeah, they just saw you 45 seconds ago. That's only a line that works like 3 days later. That's all I wanted to
How
say.
How about the reveal of the nun? In her, when they're just like, hold on, who's that?
Yeah.
And she just turns like a total helmet of hair.
Yeah.
In
a plain dress.
Like a Laura Ashley dress. Yeah. I was like, this is not, like, give me like a makeover. Give me like
Kelly
like
LeBrock.
Sandy.
Have Kelly LeBrock turn around.
Exactly.
And they go, she got facial reconstruction surgery and she's not a nun anymore. Have a great time. You know that relationship is not going to last.
Oh, no.
That is a
You don't think so?
No. And where is Stuart Pankin's wife?
She was there.
Oh, she was
there. She was there at the end.
He says, why don't you go get a chick?
Oh, yeah,
go
right.
Go quick get a chick and we'll all go for a walk.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
It's always, Larroquette is always a horny perv, you know? Like, I don't like guys like that. You know, guys that always play the same type of character.
Yeah,
like
always being gross.
Like a horny, perv, gross kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, do something different.
Yeah, show me some layers.
You know, whatever. Same old thing, Larroquette.
Yep.
Well, what do we want to plug, people? What do we want to talk about? You have a brand new
Claire, you didn't say if you would recommend seeing the movie.
Yeah.
No, I think about this movie, I feel like I'm just like, So no, I don't recommend it. I don't.
I
mean, at least it wasn't in the dystopic future, because that's so much worse for me. So if you're going to torture me with something, I would do this.
Do you prefer? I'd say the first 20 minutes are pretty interesting.
For how bad it is.
Yeah.
But then it just goes on
too
long.
It just continues, yeah.
This could have been, I will argue.
Somebody on YouTube cut it down to like 15 minutes and it will be perfect.
Here's what this could be. I would have believed this more as an 80s TV comedy procedural,
yes.
A light 1 hour in that era where you've got Hardcastle and McCormick, Scarecrow and Mrs. King, Magnum
P.I. The Days and Nights of Molly Dodd.
All of it, is when detectives ran the networks, this right. show could have worked.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Take the whole church element out of it, actually.
Yeah, 100%. Let's get some more interesting fucking cases.
Yeah.
Like at the center of this movie, if you think about it, is who's going to be Pope?
A real Boston tale.
That's what's at stake. The flawless reputation of the Catholic Church in Boston?
Ay, ay, ay.
Too soon.
Get me out of here. Curtain, get me out of here.
By the way, I will say this is better than Spotlight. So, three no's across the board. Jessica, you have a podcast coming up that you
Womp
want to tell
people. Womp It Up is coming back November 25th. And check out the last season of Playing House. It's on...
A great season of Playing House.
Thank you. iTunes or Amazon. And that's it.
Jason?
I'm on a terrific cartoon on Netflix called Big Mouth.
Yeah. So funny.
It's pretty funny. It's very dirty. It's about kids in middle school going through puberty.
And I will plug this new show on Hulu called Future Man with Josh Hutcherson and Eliza Coop.
PETA!
Yeah, PETA in the house. It's from Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. And it's like a futuristic movie about a janitor who has to stop the outbreak of herpes or the world will end. And it's really funny. And then Jason Jin and I are all in this new movie with James Franco called The Disaster Artist, which is coming out in just a little bit. It's really, really good.
Guys, who here has seen The Room? I think you're really going to like The Disaster Artist.
And if you haven't seen The Room, I really do believe it works as a prequel or a sequel. Like, if you see The Disaster Artist, you're like, what?
Yeah.
This exists? I must stop everything and find it.
My favorite, it's really very, very funny and insane. And The Room itself, if you haven't seen it, is easily the most insane movie that's ever existed. It doesn't even matter. Just see it.
All right, well, thank you guys for coming tonight.
Thank you, guys.
You did it.
We're going to give you a question. That's the show, but it doesn't end here. Listen to our mini episode where the discussion about this movie continues. You can give us a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. I will answer all your questions about this movie or even about your life. And make sure you jump on the Earwolf message boards about this movie. We do read it. We will pick the best ones for our mini episodes. Also, if you like How Did This Get Made and you want to wear it or put it as a sticker or have it as a cell phone case, head over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, and you can check out all of our amazing merch like Put Her in a Bra or the Jason Zardoz shirt, which I particularly love. A big thanks to Kelly Alto, Avril Halley, July Diaz, Nate Kiley, and Leanna Waldron, all who come together and put this show and help me do the show every single week. But more importantly, everybody here at Earwolf, their amazing engineering team that puts together this episode, makes it sound absolutely flawless. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm not going to explain where. You can figure it out, but it's pretty much HDTGM. And if you want to hear our back catalog, that's right, we only have 50 episodes available right now for free, but our back catalog is available on Stitcher. You can hear every episode that we've ever done commercial free, and if you sign up now, you can even hear this episode commercial free. How about that? Make sure you rate and review us on the iTunes. We like that. It's fun, and we have a good time with it. And make sure you tune in to our mini episode next week, because we're going to tell you what we're watching. See you next week. Bye for now.
Hello, Earwolf podcast listener. Scott Aukerman here from Comedy Bang Bang. It's a brand new year, and you know what that means. It's time for Comedy Bang Bang to count down the top episodes of 2017. You voted for your favorites. Now you can hear Paul F. Tompkins and myself talking about the best episodes of the year on our Best of 2017 specials. Listen to the whole four-part special this week on Comedy Bang Bang, and I'll see you in 2018.
Earwolf. This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
This February, true legends from the worlds of comedy and music will unite to form the Supergroup. I'm Tawny Newsom. On every episode, me and my co-host, Alex Kleiner, will invite our talented friends to write and record an original song with us over the course of a week.
You'll hear every step of the process, from writing and rewriting to recording and mixing. Songs with Open Mike Eagle, Paul F. Tompkins, Ted Leo, Woo! Sashir Zameda, Janet Woo! Varney, and more.
The Supergroup. Join the band February 6th on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.